on SEN. Welcome to Moody on the Mic with Peter Moody, Roger Aldridge, Tom Hackett, and Anthony Mithen.
Good evening and welcome to the maiden edition of Moody on the Mic. No, I'm not Peter Moody, as you can tell by the fact my voice isn't affected by 100 darts this afternoon. I'm Roger Aldridge, but here he is, the great man himself, the one whose name is with the show, Peter Moody. How are you, Moots?
Great to be here, Rog. What a fantastic advent this is. I'm really looking forward to this. I reckon we're going to have a fair bit of bloody fun. We're going to enjoy it. Little bit of lightheartedness, nothing too serious, but we'll touch the issues, have a bit of fun, and look towards the weekend racing. And that's the first carton of beer out. Let's shout, Roger Aldridge! For its goal, the phone didn't go turned off.
And the phone was on silent, and the alarm still comes through. But anyway, okay, let's move past that. All that is alerting us to the fact that we've also got two other gentlemen in the studio. And one of them has got his eyes firmly on a race about to jump at Ladbrokes Park Sandown because he's got a runner. It is Anthony Mithen. G'day, Mitho. Who are we watching there, mate?
G'day, Rog. Yeah, Immaculate Secret just jumped out wide, and we'll see if she gets a sore back. But great to be part of the show. Looking forward to it. Moody on the Mic with Mitho, as it is known and should be known.
No. You're a guest. We've invited you to be a part of
it.
Don't be stepping up and trying to take over. You're a control freak.
Peter.
You always have been all your life. Because you have a media profile, you're a guest on my show. So,
Peter,
welcome, Anthony. Please introduce yourself lovely to the crowd, and then move on to Tom.
I'm here in the trenches with you to make sure that there's a bit of media nous and a bit of sense and sensibility to come in the show so you don't get yourself
last.
In trouble.
Yours has just dropped out to last, getting the ears ridden off. It's got its tongue hanging out of its mouth, exactly like you're going to be doing if you keep trying to take over this show.
You're the racing manager. You placed it.
Here for the media nous. Clearly my career has counted for nothing. Joining us also is the resident Rayman himself. That's where you'd know him from if you follow the Ladbrokes social media channels. Our form analyst, tipster guru, Tom Hackett. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you, Rod. Very pleased to be part of the show. I'm probably going to be lucky to get a word in with these two carrying on, but I'll try my best, and hopefully we've got a few winners lined up.
Well, Mitho, just your one. How did it go? They're still trying to cross the finish line as the winner goes across now.
Yeah, got home late just to give us that bit of a tease.
Ran an unlucky eight.
I had her retired until she flashed into the screen over the last 50, but anyway, we'll chat about that tomorrow morning, Peter.
You'll discuss it with the racing manager.
I will.
Yeah, blame the racing manager, I say.
Well, like Moods alluded to here, we are going to be a very, and you may have picked that up in the opening couple of minutes of the show, it is going to be a light-hearted look at racing. We will touch on the big issues. We certainly won't be doing a deep dive into them. Moody on the Mic, of course, has become a social media phenomenon over the past few years as Moody hits up his contemporaries in the trainer's tower, winds them up, gives them a bit of lips. Johnny Sadler's always been a favourite of the punters on Moody on the Mic. What we will be doing is we'll be talking racing. We'll also be getting some of those guys on to have a bit of a chat. And joining us a little bit later in the show today will be one of Mood's faves, Sideshow Bob himself, Kieran Maher.
Looking forward to have a chat to Kieran. He's got quite a few new additions to his stables.
Has he?
And there's been a few. Well,
he's been buying some yearlings, has he?
Probably has been buying some yearlings. But
oh, good. It's good to see him active.
Yeah, a lot of the trainers in Victoria are running horses in the next couple of weeks that they've probably never seen before. Kieran's one of those.
They've been dialing up phone calls quicker than some of the teenagers have been hitting up Tinder and swiping right.
Was it Night's Watch? Were you telling me, Roger? Night's Watch is best for the weekend?
Yeah, Moody on the Mic this week. He has tipped Night Watches. His best of the weekend.
He doesn't know what colour it is.
He hasn't set eyes on the thing, and he's tipped it as a moral. It's against Avilius, the one-time Melbourne Cup favourite. So Kieran clearly knows something there. You're getting 550 of Ladbrokes at the moment, so that's an early tip.
I think DK, Weir informed him that it worked very well down at Tarang on Monday morning, so he's taking good heart from that.
Right, terrific.
We will touch on the Weary thing. Wouldn't have been a better idea that what should have happened with Weary's obviously got 700 horses and a lot of good ones too. Why didn't they have like a racing Tinder where trainers could swipe right on a horse and then pitch their case to the owners as to why they should take them from then on?
There was an app in it for sure. Someone had to create some sort of app to make sure that we were across what horses went where. Were we happy with that selection? Could we give the horse a say?
There should have been a draft.
Could there have been draft picks.
It'd be more interesting than AFLX.
Yeah, too right. Jason Warren, pick one. He gets to pick the lot. Everyone gets a go. It'd be a bit more fair than Kieran just ending up with a lot of them.
We'll ask Kieran how he's going with the new stable additions and whether or not he's got his head around any of it.
And whether there might be any moves afoot from the Seymour Day Eustace team themselves.
Well, so Caulfield trainers are looking for a new home in the next five years, aren't they?
Well, not only the horses out of DK's, but trainers also looking for homes out of Caulfield.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, there is still legs on the app idea, though, Mitho, because trainers do tend to get suspended fairly regularly. So these horses are, you know, shuffling around the place. So,
invent something.
This.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was listening. We're on to something here.
After 8 o'clock, we might just have a little debrief on that one.
Yeah, we might just have a little bit of a post-show frothing and can discuss this. Now, of course, Darren Weir offered a plea of no contest to the four charges, three of them relating to the possession of electronic apparatus on his licensed premises and the other four for conduct prejudicial to the image of racing. His disqualification commences immediately. I did note with some interest this morning that three of the jiggers were found in Weary's bedroom, which made me concerned that maybe it wasn't out for racing after all.
Oh, I'm sure that would have been used in defence at some stage, but an unlikely story, Rog, depending on what your activities are or what you're alluding to.
I'm not here to judge.
I don't think anyone is except the stewards, and they judged that they were... For other than you are insinuating.
Yeah, well, you've got to remain open-minded to these things, I suppose.
Well, I'm sure everyone is.
What did we make of the suspension? I mean, I think when it comes to... We've seen a lot of the drug issues in racing, but obviously animal cruelty is a different kettle of fish, and there doesn't seem to be a great deal of a sympathy for Darren Weir and when it comes or any trainer when it comes to animal cruelty issues.
Pete, you
well, first, it's an interesting one. One, there's been no admission of use of said appliances at this point.
Try talking in the mic, mate. That's the first part.
At this point in time,
Moody off the mic.
There we go.
Right. There's been no admission of use of such devices at this. So everyone's only surmising. Darren chose not to give evidence in the stewards' hearings, and obviously there's an ongoing police investigation, so I think everyone's just guessing and shooting into the wind at the moment.
Peter.
What?
I think we can safely assume that they've been used at some stage.
Assumption is the mother of all you-know-what, Anthony.
Peter, there's no contest to the charge.
It's as good as a guilty. In many people's eyes, it's as good as a guilty.
You're not doing yourself any favours by trying to convince anyone that they haven't been used.
I'm not trying to convince anyone, but I don't know, so I'm not just going to all of a sudden shoot from the hip until such evidence is put forward.
Right.
I think the fact of the matter is it doesn't matter whether they were used, whether they weren't used, he won't be training for 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
The horses have gone elsewhere. I think the good thing about the whole thing is it has now been handled fairly quickly. We've seen these sagas before. They've dragged out for a long time. Well, at least now Weary is gone just before the start of the autumn, and hopefully maybe racing can move on eventually.
And I think the other point to raise is that there have been recent charges of jigger use in racing, and it hasn't been as high profile, and it hasn't been a trainer that's going to make front page headlines. So it gets dealt with. They get 4 years. They go out. They do their 4 years, and there's one at the moment that's back training after Paul Prushka. Yeah, and we don't want to drag his name through all this again, but he's done his time. He's served his penance, and he's back training and got a stable of horses. And good luck to him. And I think that's the way we need to look at it. It's a tool. You know, people say animal cruelty, but I think it's an excessive tool that's used for animal behaviour. Now, if you fall on the side of the fence that says that it's going too far, that's fine too, and I probably sit there. You know, but others, old school, old timers would say, you sometimes got to give them a reminder of why they're getting treated like kings.
And those old timers, that's why they remained old timers. We all knew it was against the rules, and we've got to move on. The pleasing thing, like Tom touched on, where he's taken his penalty, copped his penance, hasn't cost himself hundreds of thousands in legal fees, and also on the other side of the coin, he hasn't cost Racing Victoria hundreds of thousands of dollars in fighting the charge against him. So it's a win-win, I think, to a degree. It's a very big loss to racing. DK Weir himself is a massive loss to racing. A loss of face to the industry, which it will fight back from and has done many times before. So let's move on. I think the most interesting thing for me is in the next 12, 18 months, DK Weir is still going to win the premierships in Victoria this year. I've got no doubt in the world about that.
He's a moral, absolute moral.
So he's...
You've done the sums, haven't you?
He pretty much can't be beaten, at least for the Melbourne premiership, and he'll probably win the Victorian one as well.
So he's 10s on. Who's going to step up and take the mantle? In the last 3 years, both myself and Robert Smurden have left the industry. So 300-odd wins. Those wins went to one stable, DK Weir. So what other individual trainers are now going to step up? There's going to be 500 wins in this group of horses available to stables outside. We know some have gone to Sydney, some have gone to Queensland. The majority will be domiciled still here in Victoria. What trainer, and that's going to be most interesting for me, to see who steps up, puts their hand up. Because in the last 3 years, no one has. Hayes always gets his 150 to 200. Mick Price always gets his 100-odd. No one else has really taken that quantum leap.
Unfair for me to ask you, but I'll ask you two gentlemen. Who are the trainers that you think stepped up when PG Moody handed back his licence and handed across something like 350 or 400 horses?
Well, I think Moody said it himself. It was Darren Weir.
Yeah, it was Weary.
Darren Weir. Lindsay Park.
Was there anyone else?
I think Lindsay Park probably bounced back a little bit because Lindsay Park did have that period where they weren't going very well, especially in big races. They probably bounced back a little bit after Moody's went out. But I think it was mainly Moody. Kieran Maher was a smaller trainer then. He's sort of risen. I think if I'm betting now, I think Kieran Maher is the one that does fill the gap. He's gotten a lot of the good horses, as we'll talk about later. I think he's probably the one to watch. But it's an interesting point. It could be the chance for some of those young trainers, Archie Alexander's, the Matt Kamani's, you never know.
No, someone's got to put the hand up and step up. 500 wins is a lot of wins. Mitchell
Friedman win that race there at St Ladbrokes Park, maybe he's the one to do it.
I think that's the point. There's a lot of good young trainers out there.
Yep.
And trains at Ballarat, and I think would get a ringing endorsement from those that are in the Darren Weir system. So, maybe Mitch Friedman's a young gun to rise up through. But it'll be really interesting to follow, and whether or not some of those interstate trainers that have got a base here in Victoria, whether they're looking to really expand the numbers and seize the opportunity to say, well, we've got great systems in Sydney that are winning us premierships or getting us close to that. Will we really attack the Victorian market head on?
And I just think can't wait to see the cardboard cutout of Darren Weir get a trainer's premiership draped around his neck at the awards night.
Jeez, yeah, that'll be an interesting night at the RVL Racing Awards this year. But let's move on. Weir's moved on. Racing Victoria moved on. We've got a great card of racing coming up.
We do. We're going to take a break first, though, Moose. We're going to touch on the all stakes after the break.
He thinks he's running the show now just because it's named after him and I can't get a mention, Rog. Will you just seize back control?
I told you he's a control freak.
Myth on the mic.
I'm the control freak. I was the one wanting to move on from the run sheet. Just follow your run sheet in front of you, Peter.
As we go to a break, let's ask the big question that everyone has been wanting to know. Peter Moody, will you be returning to the training ranks with Darren Weir?
Yeah.
Stepping out.
Answer the question, jerk.
Categoric.
Do you want me to think about it?
No. No, because I'm about to sign you to a new contract.
No. I couldn't fill D Weir's shoes. Probably a great time and opportunity to do it with probably a lot of horses available, but no, that's not.
Why not?
Why? I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying being an owner. I enjoy being a racing manager for Rosemont Stud and Wiley Dalziel Racing. And
Ladbrokes Ambassador, please.
Ladbrokes Ambassador.
The amount of paychecks that Peter Moody's got coming in at the moment, without having to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, without the stress of training horses, it's a no-brainer as to why you're not coming back.
Yeah, and logistically for me, Ballarat's on the other side of town. I'm out in the Dandenong Ranges. If I was going to train again, Pakenham. At Tynong, Pakenham Racecourse at Tynong would be my new home, but that's not the case either.
No. All right. Well, let's take a break on the...
just a little pearl to go to the break with. Pakenham gets a little run.
Yeah, no. Great facility out there.
I was there
this morning watching horses trial. I was at Ballarat the previous 3 mornings with the DK Weir camp, and that's probably where the rumour came from. But I was picking up horses, which I didn't wish to be doing, but that's the way of the world.
Got a little ring to it. Moody on the mic or Petey at Pakenham?
No, Philip Stokes at Pakenham. Enjoy spending a few mornings with him.
All right, Peter Moody rules out a return to training racehorses. You heard it here first on the first episode of Moody on the Mic.
On SEN, you're listening to Moody on the Mic. On SEN, you're listening to Moody on the Mic.
Yes, you certainly are listening to Moody on the Mic, the debut edition. We're going to dive into Group 1 racing. The first Group 1 of the new calendar year is the Ladbrokes CF4 Stakes. Tom, before we get into it, what's the market looking like?
Rog, you know how excited I get for a big race, and I'm absolutely frothing for this one this Saturday.
Get excited for a bloody maiden at sale.
Too right. So you know how I'm up and about for this one this Saturday. The favourite is Kemantara. He's $3.30. He's been pretty rock solid so far today with the Ladbrokes. On the second line of betting is Land of Plenty, $5.50. One of those horses that has moved from the Darren Weir yard to Kieran Maher. Whispering Brook back with its old trainer Sovereign Miller is at $6.50. And probably the interesting horse in the market so far is Brave Smash, $8.50. Our bookies did make a little bit of a blue, open it at $20. That didn't last long. And so now into probably the more appropriate price of $8.50.
Yeah, so if you're looking on the Ladbrokes website and you see the market mover there, Brave Smash, $20 into $8.50.
Yeah.
One of the bookies has gone rogue, and he's just gone up the wrong price. So
we'll see how he's travelling Sunday morning. He'll either be a genius or a
mate. He put up $20 and let the punters on.
It didn't last long.
Why is that? Because we're just not generous enough? Like, what about half an hour's worth of 20 to 1?
Look, there's odds boost and there's odds explosion.
We are very generous at Ladbrokes Mytho, but there's generous and there's stupidity. So yeah. we got to find the middle ground there.
Where was the needle positioned on that occasion?
I personally think $20 for Brave Smash is stupidity. That's right, my personal opinion.
And we can't name names?
The bookies won't be happy with me tomorrow.
I'd love to name names. It
does,
on Moody on the
does
mic.
Does seem, I mean, overs.
Yeah, it does seem overs.
He's been a fearless trainer in his day. Let's get fearless.
Been a race
name
that's been very good to me.
Well, this
the
is
Ladbrokes
what,
Fair Four Stakes.
I mean, you are Ladbrokes' long-time ambassador now. I mean, is there a warrant for us to name it? Or is it warranted for us to rename it? The Ladbrokes Moody PG Moody CF Four Stakes. I mean, if they've got the Colgate Optic White up there in Sydney, why can't we have a tongue twister like the PG Ladbrokes Moody on the mic CF Four Stakes?
But he owned this race, Peter Moody. 5 winners in 6 years. Typhoon Tracy won it twice. The Great Mare, Black Caviar. Moment of Change won it. Dissident won it. He absolutely destroyed the race. Right. The only one in between was All Too Hard. So he had a mortgage on it. So I think there is a little bit of a...
Rayman. There is no need to get sycophantic. The man is in the room.
I'm rarely nice to Moods, but he deserves it.
How many times have you been on the dice accepting the trophy for the CFL Stakes, Anthony?
Oh, so you, that's what you've got to have done to have achieved anything, do you?
No. I just commented on this one race. Rain Man's given me a little bit of a rap there. He's under the desk patting me on the back.
That's because you brought it up.
Moods.
It was just a little off the cuff. It's been a nice race. It's great to have Group 1 racing weekend.
Three of your favourites, aren't they? Black Caviar, Typhoon Tracy and Dissident, probably three favourite horses of the year.
Typhoon Tracy retired after winning this race.
And what about the big four, Moods?
Who?
You know, the Slipper, the Four Field Cup,
the
Cox Plate.
Half into the first episode, we're already bringing this up.
How many of them?
What are they bigger than?
Well, they're the big four.
I don't know. It doesn't say big group ones.
Oh, well, I just like to call them the big four, and most racing people have got some rough idea what I'm talking about.
Right, good.
Any? None?
No.
Tom? Rayman?
Can confirm. That's zero.
No.
Same as me.
Anyway, you're not going to win this year.
We're all on a level playing field here. None of us have trained a big four winner.
Exactly right.
But none of you train 5 CFL Stakes winners. Let's have a look
at
the race.
And you're not going to train the one this year, so let's get into it, Tom.
There is a race this Saturday. We're not just it's not just a history show. So I think Kemantari, he's the favourite, and I think the race does evolve around him a little bit. I personally think this is D-Day for Kemantari. Hasn't won since his fairly impressive win in the Randwick Guineas last autumn. In the spring, they tried a lot of different things with him. He probably should have won the Memsey Stakes over this track and distance. Got bitten by a flying humidor on the day. They tried him over the sprint distances. He was unlucky in the Ladbrokes Matacato Stakes. Probably didn't like the straight in the VRC Sprint Classic, but I think this might be the race for him. James Cummings has picked out this race. James Cummings, I really liked when he sets a horse for a race. He does normally get it right. So I think if Kemantari doesn't win this Saturday, he may not win another race.
So what is Kemantari, Moods?
Well, he didn't know in the spring, poor bugger.
But we don't know, do we?
And no one else knew, but I reckon they've got it right here. For sure. 7 furlongs, fresh at Caulfield. It's probably the softest 1,400-metre race, not quality-wise, but distance-wise first up. It's not a hard 1,400. And it's probably just that little bit between the sprint and the milers. And I think they've dead-set aced it here. Like Rain Man said, you know, you go back fourth behind Winx, probably a bit of a hard task back in the spring there. Second in the Memsey, like, brilliant run behind Humidor. Gate 2, he's going to need a little bit of luck. He's going to find a bit of traffic. He's going to be 3 back the fence, you would think. Jay McDonald, he really rode Caulfield superbly there in the spring. He's come down to ride him, no doubt. I know he's riding other horses on the day, but his trial the other day in Sydney, I don't know if you saw it, but visually it was fantastic. Yeah,
very, very impressive.
It was super. So he absolutely looks to be flying, that horse. So he's... he's going to take a hell of a lot of rolling.
What about Sosie Bond? I mean, won a race. It won a race in December. It actually won a bloody race.
Yeah.
It's back to Caulfield, the scene of the crime. Tom Melbourne's won a race this year.
What is going on?
This is the year of racing miracles.
When it won the race the other day, the Lord Stakes, Sosie Bond, it beat home Torgerson.
Yep.
There's no Torgerson's in this field.
Erroneous.
Right, so, yeah, I'm happy to...
Well, 1,700 Lord Stakes back to a weight for age group one.
Yeah, happy to put the pen through Sosie Bond.
Maybe the bookies have got this one right when they went up 100-1?
Well, the Bairnsdale Cup was probably more a realistic aim. But listen, congratulations to Connections. They're going to Caulfield on Saturday and they've got tickets to the All Stakes.
Yeah, they'll have a great day. Yeah.
And we've mentioned that there's four horses in the field that were trained by DK Weir.
I think four of the top five in the market.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got Brave Smash now with Chris Lees, Land of Plenty with Kieran Mart, David Eustace, 50 Stars with the Hayes Dabbing Camp. Whispering Book's gone back to Simon Miller.
The original trainer
at Ascot.
Mm. He's trained it all the way from Perth.
Yep.
So he's FaceTime
at track work, a wonderful thing.
At least he'll know what colour his horse is. Probably a couple of the other trainers that have picked up horses from Weirs, probably not quite sure what the colour of their horse is unless they pop down to the back this afternoon and had a look at them.
What would it mean to a trainer on Saturday to get up there and accept a Group 1 trophy, the Peter Moody Ladbroke CF4 Stakes, having not even seen their horse and it being in their name for a grand total of 5 days?
Oh, listen, this has gone on forever and a day. Every trip. Bart Cummings did it. Tommy Smith did it. Peter Moody had horses leave his stable and win the next week.
Really?
It's probably pretty hollow for the trainers, but I would imagine they'll happily collect their percentage.
He can make his speech on Skype, I'm sure. They'll have Simon Miller
is probably a little bit different because he did have a lot to do with the horse, hasn't he? And it
exactly.
was the best.
One feels Simon Miller will be coming over for it.
Well, I hope so because he's a real character.
Very good Simon Miller character together again.
Yeah. They're hilarious. Yeah.
This is a mare that Simon's developed. She's in great form and is probably the genuine danger to the favourite in Kementaro.
Yeah, you can't underrate just how well she is going. She's absolutely flying. The Australia Stakes is the key lead up to this race. Moods, most of your horses that did win this race also ran through in the Australia Stakes. So I think you just can't knock her form. Probably the only query for her is the 1,400 metres. Her only win over 1,400 metres was as a 2-year-old in the Western Australian Side Produce Stakes, which obviously isn't as quality a race as this. So that probably is the query, but she's rock hard fit. She's just very speedy. They could go forward with her and she'll be tough to run down.
I'm going to tip one a little different. D'Argento.
I'm with you. Yeah, absolutely.
What odds are we
there?
$11 for D'Argento at the moment.
So each way all day. First up, record unbelievable. Three goes first up. A couple of wins.
Not too many of them in a weight for age group one, but.
Well, actually, when he's first up.
First up in the spring, ran third in the Winx Stakes, obviously behind Winx, and it actually beat
just
home.
Just in front of Kementaro.
Yeah, beat home Kementaro on that day. So, but you look at the price difference, you're getting D'Argento $11, Kementaro $3.20,
I've got a bit of a feeling, too, that D'Argento is a little bit Kementaro. Was stretched out to the distance to the Cox Plate last prep. I know he's by So You Think, but he's out of a really quick mare in Full As. It's a fast family, and I wonder whether Chris Waller might just keep him a bit on the fresh side and concentrate on sprinter mile.
Did win Roselle Guinness, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
As a 3-year-old. So he's a mile group one winner.
But I think his best runs last campaign.
I reckon he won the Randwick Guinness, didn't he?
No, he ran the Roselle Guinness. Kementaro won the Randwick Guinness.
I thought we were talking about Kementaro.
But I think last preparation, D'Argento's best runs were over the shorter trip. Second in the Epsom, beaten in a lip by Hartnell. And then went up to the Ladbrokes Stakes. Probably ran all right there. Probably a little bit disappointing in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. So I think you might be right, Mytho. Has probably done a set it for these. Maybe get out to an Australian Cup for the 2000 because I think it may be a relatively weak Australian Cup this year because of the All Star Mile. So maybe that might be his target. But I think he's a genuine chance on Saturday.
Chris Waller's probably listening to the show, knowing that it's on for the first time, and he would have taken Anthony's advice very much on board there. That he'll probably.
Oh, Peter, it's just an opinion. Mile. It's like an armpit.
Right.
Some people have got two.
I'm thinking Chris will probably take that on board.
Terrific.
Yeah, no, that's lovely. One of the great trainers, Anthony Mitham.
What else do you like in the race? I've just thrown up another
Where's your money going at ladbrokes.com.au?
I would think Kementaro looks a great race for him. I'm not totally against D'Argento, but I think he's going to need as much luck.
For argument's sake, you are.
One and two. Drawn gates one and two. If they can hold a reasonable enough spot. Where's the speed going to be in this race?
It's tough to know where the speed's going to come from. I think Whispering Book can be quite handy.
And might control the race from the front. Soft sectionals first 600, 800. it's going to take a fair bit of running down.
No, absolutely. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Craig Williams maybe went forward on best of days. It's probably a horse that might need the run, but I think they could potentially go forward. And if, I wouldn't be surprised if J-Mac does try to settle Kementari a little bit closer to the speed, just because I really don't see a great deal of speed here. He could potentially land in the 1-1, but... And J-Mac, I think, is a very good big race jockey. As you've said before, Moods, he's riding Crawford really well at the moment. So I think he could give Kementari an absolute peach.
Yeah, even luck Kementari for me.
All right, and you two are with D'Argento.
Yeah, at the price, I'm with D'Argento.
Yeah, D'Argento just from Kementari and throw in the Simon Miller trained Whispering Brook.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Whispering Brook in this one.
A couple of text messages coming through here, boys, on the show. Unknown, honestly, a horse racing show. I thought SEN only did sports, seemingly not Off Goes My Radio. Well, that's a bit disappointing. I thought horse racing was a sport.
Yeah, you're going to be missed, Anonymous.
Quite often called the sport of kings, but in Australia it's the sport of anyone. That's why anyone has a chance to own a race horse.
This is
Joe
the...
from Essendon, a little shot probably at me. That's why racing is a two-bob corrupt industry. Mate's not prepared to bag someone who is caught red-handed. Certainly not condoning what we were talking about earlier in the DK Weir situation there, Joe. I was a client of Darren Weir. I wouldn't consider myself a close associate, but until I see the full facts, I'm not going to jump up and down on the bloke's grave. And Cookie from Ballarat, we've got a wrap, boys.
Oh,
not a racing fan, but loving the verbal dust-ups on air. So, Cookie, you're our clubhouse leader and favourite on Moody on the Mic first edition.
Can we give anything away to SMS?
Cookie,
or a caller at some
anything?
Stage? SMS us, by the way, on 0433 98 11 16, of course. 0433 98 11 16.
And we'll clearly read out praise or pots. So
we love the pots.
We don't mind the pots. Yeah. Just be prepared for us to go straight back at you. We're going to take another break here on Moody on the Mic at 11:16 SEN. We're going to be back after the break with the man who perhaps has benefited the most from Darren Weir's suspension. It will be Kieran Maher.
On SEN, you're listening to Moody on the Mic. On SEN, you're listening to Moody on the Mic.
Time for the first ever guest on Moody on the Mic, the radio version. It is the man himself, the trainer. He's benefited greatly from the Darren Weir fire sale. It is Kieran Maher. G'day, Kieran.
How you going?
We're well.
G'day, Kieran. Moods here, mate. Thanks for making history, being the first guest on the show. You don't sound like you're overly bubbly about it, but it's good to have you on the show.
Been a long few days.
Been busy. Been driving up and down a certain highway at all the last couple of days?
Maybe a little bit the last couple of days.
Righto. Few text messages and rumours coming through that you could be a new resident of Lake Windaree or Miner's Rest, and a couple of people I believe have already sent you what are those pans? They used to pan for gold in. You might be moving to a gold mining district or anything like that. Can you shed anything, or are we touching on something we shouldn't have there?
Apparently got sent in the mail this week a year pass for Sovereign Hill.
Oh. Yeah. You'll be able to take the kids up there.
One to know about.
Mate, great to have you on. Serious business this week, obviously. Timing is everything. Your stable's absolutely flying. You had three winners at home last week at Caulfield. Your two-year-olds have been on fire. Team's going enormous. Why wouldn't people be ringing up Seymour and D. Eustace to train their horses? And you've got quite a few nice horses this week to already join a burgeoning successful operation, I would have thought.
Yeah, no, it's been it's been an unbelievable week in racing. Down with Saga unfortunately, and we have a great weekend and the team's been on fire, like you said. So, we've got quite a number of ex-Darren Weir horses running on Saturday that all look to be really nice horses and in great order. So, pretty exciting time for the stable.
Before we get to the Darren Weir horses and for Saturday, Kieran, I've just got to ask, I mean, you know exactly what it's like to be rubbed out on the eve of a Group 1 and then see the horse that you were training salute in the big one. So maybe this weekend is a little bit of the racing gods But Karma coming back, you'll get that Group 1 after all.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a tough thing to do, but mate, hopefully you're right. You know, like, obviously I haven't had the horses for very long, and a few of them galloped at Moonee Valley on Monday, and they certainly look in super order, as I said. So hopefully the racing gods are favouring us.
I reckon, Kieran, the punters out there would be fascinated with just the week that was and where horses came from. Did you have horses turn up that you didn't even know were going to turn up at the stable? How chaotic has it been? Can you put the punters in the picture? And do you think the horses will just take a little while to adjust and we've got to tread a little bit carefully from a punting perspective?
No. All the horses that were coming went through the office, and we knew exactly what was turning up and where they were going and where they were coming from. Horses are very adaptable animals. You know, like they, you know, like even in our stable, they'll be in Caulfield and we'll flick them down to Balnarring Beach for a week to freshen up, or they'll come back in, or sometimes they'll flick out to Pakenham facility for a little bit of dressage. So a lot of the older horses seem to like that different environment. You know, it keeps them fresh in the mind, whereas your younger horses, your two-year-olds and that, they need their routine and a bit of structure. But I don't think it'll really affect them. But the main thing is that how they're conditioned and how they're prepped up, and they're certainly in great order.
Kieran, probably one of the most exciting new additions to the stable is Land of Plenty, who runs in the Ladbroke CFL Stakes on Saturday. Have you seen him this week, and what do you make of his chances in what is a pretty competitive Group 1 race?
Well, he galloped at Terang when he was still with Darren on Tuesday, and then he went straight to our beach facility, so I haven't seen him, but he's certainly speaking with Darren, he's very happy with him, and so he's pretty right to go. Bit of cut in the ground certainly wouldn't hurt him either, so can't tell you a lot about him other than hopefully he's done a good job.
Well, I can tell you, just looking at the Ladbrokes form guide here, that he is Bay or Brown, so you'll have to make your mind up when you get a look at him yourself whether you're going to call him Bay or Brown.
Very good.
There'd be a few you wouldn't know the colour of, I reckon.
Oh, no, I've got most of them dialed in.
Well, man. I think the most interesting one was on Moody on the Mic on the online version earlier in the week, you tipped Knight's Watch as your best bet of the day when you admitted earlier in the episode that you hadn't seen the horse. So where's that confidence come from, Kieran?
No, Knight's Watch, I think I said him gallop at Moody Valley on Monday. I hadn't seen Land of Plenty or Voodoo Lab.
Mate, on a serious note, we are very serious people.
100%.
With Caulfield closing down, that was a shock for everyone last year. We all knew it was probably inevitable, but Caulfield is closing down. You are one of the trainers probably with a facility that, with a number of horses that could utilise the facility vacated by Darren Weir at Ballarat, and a great facility and a very successful facility it has been. You must be giving serious consideration with the imminent closure of Caulfield. You know that wouldn't be a silly move. Or like, for personally, and I'm not you, and I haven't spoken to you about it. It sounds like an absolute no-brainer for you and Dave Eustace to maybe look at that. So, is it something that you would give serious consideration to?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, you know, it's a premier training facility. Obviously, he's won the premiership a number of times, and anyone that knows Darren, you know, he just keeps putting it back into his stable to make a better facility, and definitely warrants serious consideration.
Right, that's good as gold, because I've got a heap of firewood up at South Belgrave. I'll get a body truck, a B-double, and I'll start cutting wood for you, because you're going to freeze your backside off in the middle of winter. That's all I wanted to know. I'll get another urn there. I'm getting a few paychecks, but selling firewood to Maren Eustace at Ballarat's going to be another one coming up. I want that contract.
Dave Eustace with his English accent, he might be a bit used to the
cold weather. Kieran's not allowed to let Dave get too close to the open fire because he's got one large eyebrow that runs from one side of his head to the other, and that'll set off every fire.
I was going
to
say, he'll be right in the cold weather because he'll be able to tuck himself in under his eyebrow.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
We need to get some best bets, mate.
Oh, right. We need a best bet. Well, he's given us our best night's watch.
What about one that he's seen more than once?
Have you got a smoky there for the punters?
Sensibility in the
2-year-old fillies.
Prelude. She got back from an awkward draw at first start at Geelong and closed off really hard, and I think she's improved. Improved fitness wise, and she's drawn the pole. So.
You are kidding.
He did mention this filly to me on Tuesday morning at Kieran at track work, and we did watch the race together in New Zealand 10 days ago when she ran at Geelong, so he's got a lot of time for us.
Want to be good,
and a couple of runners in the group.
You said you wanted Smokey, didn't you?
Exactly, Smokey.
Each way at odds, you can run second. Well done, Kieran.
Thanks for joining us, mate. Thanks for being the inaugural guest on the inaugural Moody on the Mic. You'll go down in history as one of the greats.
Very honoured.
That's a great honour. We'll probably annoy you again. So good luck in the Group 1s. Good luck in the Autumn Carnival coming up, mate.
All the best.
Cheers.
There we have it. Kieran Maher joining us on the first episode of Moody on the Mic. Let's go to the SMS machine because I'll tell you what, I'm staggered by this. Overall response is overwhelmingly positive.
Well, we're
professionals.
Go on, I'll read out my favourite one that I can see here, which we've got finally a horse racing show on SEN. Peter Moody's interviews for Ladbrokes are gold. That actually wasn't the one. I saw one earlier that said they couldn't think of a better sponsor for this show than Sexyland because nothing makes them think of Sexyland more than Peter Moody.
Right.
I really enjoyed that one. Just dropped off the screen now, but I did write that one down.
They're coming thick and fast.
They are. They're coming in big time.
There's another one here suggesting that Mytho's not copping enough ribbing. We can tell you Mytho is a control freak, and we're struggling to hold him back here. He thinks it's Mytho on the mic, not Moody on the mic, so we'll keep him in his spot. And there was another suggestion there, can we find you a couple of best bets? Well, we're going to do that at the back end of the program. We're going to have a Rosemont Ruffy from Mytho and a Moods Mail and a Tommy's whatever. What's yours,
Tommy's
Tommy?
Rainman's Corner.
Resident Rainman.
Rainman. What are you coming up with, Rog?
We don't want Roger tipping.
I'll tell you, I've got one of the great punting runs on the weekend, but it was more arse than class. I'll tell you what, though, we do need to touch on something semi-important. One question here, and they have hit send before they finish the message, but g'day, boys. Wrap with the new show. Congratulations, I'll be a regular listener. Thanks very much. The public needs to understand why Weir horses can run this week or the next week or the next. Now, it's my understanding is that Weir's horses, as long as they're transferred into the name of another licensed trainer, can run immediately as soon as that paperwork goes through.
The stewards have to sign off on any transfer from Weir to another trainer. They have to tick off on that before these horses are allowed to race. So the stewards are doing that in the knowledge that they believe these horses, there's nothing untoward involved.
So they are genuinely
horses.
Being transferred to that
and
trainer.
And they've got to tick off on that. It can't be a matter of a truckload arrive from Darren Weir's to Kieran Maher's and he's just allowed to run them. Each and every one of those horses will be assessed independently by the stewards. Their ownership will be viewed. Darren Weir's not allowed to have ownership in any runners either. And the stewards finalise that through a stable returning system. And before they will allow those horses to run. So there's probably some horses that can't run this week that maybe were and vice versa. So there's no drug issues. There's nothing else out there to suggest. And I think we saw owners penalised last weekend when the horses were scratched on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, a lot of horses out of the Weir stub, which hurt the financial pocket of the owners, the backbone of the industry along with the punters. And probably rightly so, it was going to cast a suspicion. But time moves on, everything's got to move on, and the stewards have acted rapidly and correctly in allowing these horses to run if they have okayed all the systems put in place.
All right. Well, we'll take a break here on Moody on the Mic. We'll be back to wrap things up with some best bets and a look at the fillies and also Colton Gowling's Blue Diamond Preludes and a $2 million race at Warwick Farm.
On SEN, you're listening to Moody on the Mic.
Not too far from the winning post here on the debut run of Moody on the Mic. We have dribbled far too much excrement in the first 50 minutes of the show.
It's so much better for the run.
Through this one, boys. Let's start with the Colts and Geldings Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Prelude. The favourite is I Am Immortal at $2.70. Tom, who do you like?
I think I'm Immortal would be tough to beat, but Aussie at $8 is the value bet.
Mytho?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the favourite. I'm Immortal. A bit boring, but Ben Mellum will win them both, I reckon.
Hawker Hurricane, I thought, was good from off the pace at Ballarat. That race traditionally has probably been a little bit of a moderate form race. Agree there, boys?
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's come from off the pace, closed out well, son of deep field. So I'm giving him a shot from gate eight. And Zara was a little bit positive. He gave me a push at Caulfield Trackwork on Tuesday morning, Hawker Hurricane. And, you know, this is the last lead into the Ladbrokes Blue Diamond in 2 weeks, along with the fillies race that we'll discuss very shortly. So very important
races.
Let's
discuss it exactly right now. The Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Prelude for the fillies. And the favourite here is Catch Me. Not to be confused with Catchy, who, of course, won the Blue Diamond 2 years ago.
How did that get through? Catch Me, Catchy.
It's a star, Catch Me, I think, a potential star. I think it'll win this Saturday. I think it can win in 2 weeks' time, and it could even do the double. I've got a massive rap on this horse. I think
How did the name get through? But Catchy, Catch Me, Catchy, Catch Me.
It's a bloody word, mate.
Hell, they turn up in the same race.
I don't care as long as it wins.
Well, they're not going to turn up in the same race because Catchy's retired.
I know you're illiterate, but there's a two-word name and there's a one-word name.
Yeah, it sounds very similar. They're running off Terry Bailey's tongue.
I am obviously.
How are you going to pick that up at Cranbourne on a Friday?
I am obviously tipping
Terry Bailey. I thought you were other Terry Bailey.
I'm obviously tipping our horse, Brooklyn Hustle, who will give them absolute windburn, will be better for the run, and you can have your Catch Me. It'll be Brooklyn Hustle winning the both of them.
Nothing improves a horse like ownership punters. Anthony Mithen, the director and owner of Rosemont Stud, they're tipping his horse, Brooklyn Hustle. She was super.
Who do you like, Moots? We're running out of time.
I'm giving Brooklyn Hustle a big chance. Also, trial super at Mornington last week. The 11 Alley will suit this filly because she doesn't step away clean. Don't want to pump Mytho's tyres up, but I think I haven't seen Catch Me. I've seen Brooklyn Hustle. For me, seeing is believing.
All right. Inglis Millennium is a $2 million race at Warwick Farm.
What about that? $2 million?
What about this? My Sweet Fish is going around $67. Hard to give it a pick and a shovel. Debut run going for a $2 million cash. That wouldn't be bad if you're an owner of that one.
Yeah, I'll take it. It's probably the most underrated, probably undercovered $2 million race in history, but I think it is still an interesting race, and a session is the horse to beat for mine. Barrier 14 will get back, but I think it's got a nice turn of foot. Bowman in the saddle.
Currently second in the market behind Dawn Passage with Ladbrokes Mytho.
Just for something different, I think a session will be very hard to beat, but if it's going to get beaten, I'm plumping for Biscara, David Hayes, Tom Davenig, Brett Preble in the saddle, drawn well in two. I reckon Biscara can get the job done.
Moods.
Well, I'm not going to be a mug and try and tip people into that I've studied into this race like you've just done and pull that out of your clacker on 30 seconds.
For great Victoria.
I appreciate it's a $2 million race, and I'll let punters make their own mind up because I have absolutely no idea any of the horses in the race. The interesting point for me, return of Golden Slipper winner Easter Jarb in race 5, the English Sprint. Slipper winners, it's always been a bit of a grey area how they return. She won a trial in Sydney last week by about 15 lengths. No jockey on board.
All right, in a word, and I mean, unless it's like Catch Me, and that's two words. In a word, best of the weekend, Rain Man.
I need three words. Crack the code. Caulfield Race 2.
That's the best of the weekend. I'm going Brooklyn Hustle. And actually, it just bolts up.
You are, Moody.
I'm with Rain Man, Crack the Code. Both Oliver and Price tipped it at Caulfield Trackwork on Tuesday morning.
Thank you very much for joining us on
Rog.
Moody on the Mic.
Great to be here, boys.
Fantastic.